Okay, third line down. We're going to start on Kuf Mem Amud Aleph. Gemara says, Pshita, Merubim v'nit ma'atu, kvar zachu behem yorshim. So again, the Mishnah discussed when there are nechasim merubim and nechasim mevatim. When there are nechasim merubim, then the sons inherit and the daughters get mizonot. On the other hand, if it's nechasim mevatim, the daughters get their mizonot and the sons get whatever residual is left over, plus efim machzir l'ptachim. So if the estate, when the estate was being divided or available, they were merubim. There's sufficient mizonot for both the sons and the daughters for a year, or for achiva gru, depending on the opinions that we learned yesterday. Then they would divide the estate, v'nimitahotu, and then the value went down. Kvar zachu behen yorshim. Since the yorshim, who are really entitled min haTorah to this yerusha, were able to be yorashid at the time, then that's it. They get, whatever has been done is done. And the divisions are final, despite the fact that it's reduced its value. On the other hand, mu'atin, if they were of lower value, meaning that it was a smaller estate, v'nit rabu, and then they went up in value, mai. What is the din here? Birshut yorshim kaimi, since really, or technically, they are in the possession of the yorshim, hilchach birshut yorshim shivuach. Therefore, by definition, the appreciated value goes towards, or is directed towards those that are the yorshim. Or maybe we say that the Yoshim had been eliminated, right, or removed from here. So in Nechasim Mu'atim, by Nechusim Ru'abim, or when we have large estate, it's clear that the Banim are Yorish. They actually get physical delivery of the property, they're Mechalek the property, and therefore if it depreciates, it depreciates on their account. And it goes down in their value. And the same would be true for the girls. The girls who got mizonot and had an allocation of mizonot, if the value depreciates, that allocation or the trust that was, or the value that was assigned to pay for the mizonot, that also went down in value. So the, that value, clearly we know when it goes down, that they both take the brunt of that. Question is now, when the value of the estate goes up, right, who does that accrue to when the value of the estate goes up? Do we say that the Yoshim really own it? But in some way, they've deferred their rights because the girls get mizonot. But the underlying this, they still own it. If they own it, the appreciation will accrue to their benefit. On the other hand, we say that they've been removed from the estate because the girls took their yerusha for their mizonot and the boys got nothing. They have to go be makzir al-ptachim, or they got whatever residual was left over. Therefore, they don't have any rights to the appreciation of the property. So do we say it appreciates to them, or do we say that, well, that's an excess of their needs? And whatever we said before, when there was excess of the needs of the girls, that went to the boys. So maybe we should say the same thing over here. The excess goes to the boys. And that's the question of Misaliku. Are they, once they're out, are they out of the picture totally? So the other one says, Tashma. The Amar Rabbi Asi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Yitomim, Shikadmu, Umachru, B'nechasim, Muatim, Masha Machru, Machru. So if Yitomim come and sell the property, even in Nechasim, Muatim, what they've done is done. I mean, that we don't encourage this behavior. It's not right what they did. But if they transact in the estate property, their transactions are good transactions. So, well, depending on what you think this transaction was, the Rashbam thinks there was this kodem shemidu benot bedin. This is before the benot went to din to have the estate divided and allocated. So prior to that, they go ahead and they sell the estate or they do some transactions on behalf of the estate. Then we say, boom, that's it. What's done is done. And we also say, once they probably sold, the banot get nothing because we don't take mizonot away from the lekuchot. We don't take it away from the chasim mishum badim. So now, we see from this, according to the Rashbam, that if they do a mechira, the mechira is good, which teaches you that they have a tfisad yad, that they have to have some sort of control, some sort of ownership in the property, because otherwise how could they sell the property? But the Rashbam is only indicating that that's true before the division of the property. On the other hand, Tosfos says, and I don't agree, says no, says, Mio ni adari nira dafilu kfar tafsu abanot. Even if division has been done already, or Wilhelm Beit Din or Beis Din already has allocated the monies, imachru achim machur. Tosfos says that even after the division, you could still sell it. That they can always sell it. When the boys say can sell it, they can sell it from now, from there, forever. Because it's really theirs. Meikar din haTorah, it's theirs. Now they assigned or allocated the monies to the girls, but they still have a tefisat, they still have ownership in it. what happens now is that you have an issue, or basically a problem that comes up, is what's the difference then between nichasim mirubim and nichasim muatim? Because at this point, the Gemara has come to the conclusion that the boys own it no matter what. Whether it's nichasim mirubim. Right. We say the conclusion of that question is that they're not removed, and it means that the boys own it. In either case, the boys own it, and the girls are assigned the mizonot. So what would be the nafkamina between nechasim rubim and nechasim mulatim? Now, according to the Rishbam, it's clear what the difference is. The question is, once the division happens. Meaning that for the Rishbam, the ability of the boys to dictate terms or to sell it is only prior to the division. Once the division happens, the boys are out of the picture in terms of nechasim mulatim. They will get, once the bezin has already taken possession on behalf of the girls or allocated to the girls, there's nothing to speak about in terms of the boy's ability to sell it. So that will be the difference. By nechasim mulatim, there will be no ability to sell afterwards, whereas by nechasim rubim, they own it after that point of division. So that will be the nafkamina between them. But according to Tosafot, who now just says that boys can sell it anytime they want, both nechasim rubim and mulatim, then what's the difference anymore? There is no difference between mulatim and rubim. In both cases, the boys have technical control. They could sell it. And if they do sell it, right, the sale goes through, and the girls get mizanot. So what's the difference between them? So Tosfos over here claims at the bottom of this big, large Tosfos, he says, Yesh lomar, deyesh chiluk, de minechasim rubim, yucholim limkor letzorch gadol. That when it comes to nechasim rubim, you're allowed to sell for a big reason. I mean that even by nechasim rubim, they can't sell the property. Why can't they sell the property? Because then they're mafkia the girls from mizonot. The way the estate pays the girls mizonot is through the property that's there. Now, if the property is then sold, it's now encumbered to someone else, and the girls have no way of getting their mizonot anymore. So, the restriction against selling lechatchila should apply both to a nechasim rubim, nechasim mulatim. So Tosus suggests over here that by nechasim rubim, chatchila, just like by nechasim latim, you can't sell it. But if there's a tzorech gadol, whatever that definition of a tzorech gadol is, you're allowed to sell it by nechasim rubim. You're allowed to sell for a tzorech gadol. Avam nechasim latim, ein yucholim lemkor klal. By nechasim latim, you have no permission to sell it lechatchila. Period. Now, if you do sell it, it will work. Ve'od dimerubim nitatu yizonu abanim im abanot umnechasim latim lo yizonu klal. Also, if they were nechasim, what? The money. If there was a large estate, and then it went down in value, depreciated in value, then the banim and banot would share, because they're both subject to the depreciated value, and they both basically all get mizonot out of the property at the reduced value. On the other hand, nechasim latim, the boys are out of the picture, and they never get any part of the mizonot. They're not entitled to mizonot whatsoever. So Tosus is trying to come up with small differences because the Mishnah seems to divide between these two cases of mulatim rubin. Now the Gemara basically has made them into one. The boys get it every time. The boys get it, and the mizonot are allocated to the girls. What's the difference between them? So Tosus says the little small differences. In the case of rubin lechatchila, if it's a tzorech gadol, you can sell it, right? Whereas that's not true by mulatim. And the second thing is about whether the boys have rights to mizonot. In a case where it was merubim and then nitma'atu, the boys also get mizonot alongside the girls. In a case where it was always mulatim, the boys are out of the picture in terms of mizonot, and they never get mizonot. There are other rishonim who deal with this, the Ramban and others, that also try to explain what the differences are, what the nuances between these two cases are. Again, you're seeing different extremes here, where Tosu says, basically, mulatim and merubim are totally in control or controlled by this children or the boys. Whereas the Rishbam says, no, that's not the case. Only for that small period before the Bezin allocates it are they in control. So now you have to explain in anywhere. You could be anywhere in the spectrum between the two. Plus you have to explain what the difference between Muatim and Mirubim are. Right now, next case. Yativ Rabbi Yirmiya Kamei de Rabbi Abou. Yirmiya was sitting before Rabbi Abou, but Kabbalah Mina. He was asking him a question. Almanato Mahu Shitima'it Binechasim. The almanah, who has a right to mizonot, how do we view her take on the mizonot? Is her take on the mizonot, or her ability to receive mizonot, precede the division of the estate? And therefore, if we already take her mizonot out, then we look at the nechasim, they might be miwatim then. Or do we say, no, we look at the estate, prior to any claims on the estate. And prior to any claims on the estate, it's still merubim. If they're merubim, then we go along with the case that it's merubim. And then afterwards, right, the almana will come and take her piece. Mi amrina, do we say, came indeed, la mizone mimato? Since she's entitled to mizonot as well, she reduces the total value of the estate. I mean, the remainder that will be applicable to the boys and girls. Odilma, came indeed, la minzaba leitla. Or maybe because if she gets married, she forfeits her rights to collect anymore. Therefore, hashanami leitla. Therefore, her right to mizonot is not, or we don't look at it prior to the division of the estate. We look at the estate pre the almanah's claim, because the almanah's claim could go away. It's not necessarily a fixed claim, it's not necessarily a permanent claim, and therefore it would go away. So now, over here, the Rashbam points out in this case that the two tzadim here, the one side where it's the almanah is mima'it, the side where the almanah does not mima'it, in both these cases, the banot will get their mizonot. There's nothing to talk about. The only question here is whether the boys have to pay out the almanah or not. I mean, the banot, in either case, will get their mizonot. They have their claim to get mizonot, and they'll get that no matter what. The only really question here is, are the boys going to have to pay out of their possession the almanah, or the almanah takes off the top? Right. So if the almanah takes off the top, right, then the banot will get their mizonot, and the boys will, maybe mechalek, the residual after the banot get their mizonot. On the other hand, if the almanah gets only after the fact, then the boys will get allocated their chelik. They'll have to pay the mizonot to the girls, and they'll also have to pay the mizonot to the almanah.
That's if merubim.
What? Merubim, right. So that basically comes out that there's very little difference, again, between them.
It seemed to me the difference would have been whether or not the boys have the mechazer or psafi.
Right, that's what it answers. In that case, if there is a small amount, the girls will get their mizonot. Whatever is left over would go to the boys, but now the almanah has a prior claim. So she'll get her mizonot, and they'll have to go to the doors. If she does not reduce the value of the estate, then yizonu yachar almanah v'banim. Then the banim and the almanah will fight it out. I mean, they'll get whatever's left over. Right, but the daughters will never lose in these cases. It doesn't matter. The girls will always get mizonot. The only question is, does the almanah get precedence over the boys, or does she at the same level? Are they sharing together in the division of the mizonot? So that will depend. In a case where it's not ma'at, I mean that there is merubim, then the almanah and the banim will share in the mizonot that are afterwards. Meaning because she doesn't reduce the value of the estate, that means the banot get their mizonot, and then the boys and the almanah have to share whatever's left. And they will go on. But on the other hand, if it's she is mima'it, then the girls get their mizonot prior, the almanah will get her mizonot, and the boys will be left with whatever is residual. But there probably won't be no residual, and they'll have to go and go ala p'tachim. That's the question. Now, next, the Gemara says, Imtim Salomar. If you want to say, yes, given to Ilum Mitzvah Leitla, since she, if she gets married, she has no rights. Ashnami Leitla, it's also over here. So basically saying that the almanah does not take off the top, but rather she is only considered after the fact. Batishto Maushet Meit Minechasim. What about his wife's daughter? This is a stepdaughter, right? And there was a clause that usually in the ketubah that says that he would take care of his wife's daughter for 5 years, provide her mizonot, whatever the stipulations are, but he is responsible for his stepdaughter to pay her mizonot. Mi amrinan came into chimins banami itlo. Right, so over here, since even if she gets married, she still gets it. Umemato, therefore she should be made. As opposed to the almanah, when she gets married, she's out of the estate, she gets no longer has any rights to the mizonot, because she collects her ketubah and goes. The obligation of the stepfather to the stepdaughter is a fixed obligation whether she gets married or not. She's granted a fixed number of years, like 5 years of mizonot, and that's it. Whether she gets married or doesn't get married, I mean, it could be to her advantage or disadvantage, but either way, she only gets that amount. And therefore, maybe she should be ma'it. Odoma. If she passes away, she has nothing. So there is a way that her mizonot would terminate. It's not a fixed or granted that she will get mizonot, because if she passes away, those mizonot disappear. Right. But I'm saying, but even right, even if she has, well, if she does it, no, but if she does get married and she has yorshim, they're still not entitled to her mizonot. The mizonot are directed to her. Period. So if she got married, which we said here, and she's still entitled to mizonot, if she passes away, it's not like her husband gets the mizonot. Right? That's, it ends, it terminates at that point. So if she passes away, she has none. Therefore, she does not reduce the value of the estate. We don't look at her from the top. I mean, we don't take it off from the top. What about creditors? Do we take off from the top for creditors, or do we only look at the creditors after the fact? If he passes away, the creditor still has a right to collect, because his children can come on his behalf and collect. I mean, the rights of the creditor are not abrogated just because he passes away. So therefore, it would be ma'it. Since he has yet to collect his loan, lo ma'it. Right? Therefore, he still doesn't have, it's not ma'it because he hasn't come and asked to make a collection. He hasn't actually collected. If he hasn't collected, true, the estate is obligated to pay the money, but the lack of collection indicates that the estate is still whole. If the estate is still whole, we'll look at the merubim and ma'atim before the creditors claim against the estate. So the Gemara says, "V'ika debayla li'idach kisa." There's some people ask the question starting the other way, which is, "Bachov ma'u she'meid benechasim." They started with "Bachov" and said, "What should it be?" And then, "Bat ishto ma'u she'tima eid benechasim, amunato ma'u she'tima'id benechasim." They did it in the opposite order. Obviously, you could say, based on the, whatever conclusion you come to, you can do the imtim salom or the other way, and go to the point up to nechasim. Right? Either one is. And the question is, right, what is the status? So far the Gemara, it seems to indicate, and you can see that from the Mishpat, that Imtim Salomar was the conclusion in each of these cases, that the Imtim Salomar dictates, like the Rambam's position in general. So that would be the, now the Rashbam explains the Gemara this way, and then along comes along until Tosfos, and he says, I don't understand this Gemara whatsoever. The questions all seem to be problematic. Why? So how could the questioner over here distinguish between, like, say, an almana? An almana who gets married, she stops her mizunot. Whereas, and then a bat ishto, even when she gets married, she still gets mizunot, but if she dies, she loses it. And then a creditor is mechusar gibayno, is also missing a collection. He says, listen, all these facts are true of all the cases. Tema. The reheyach to elomarkein, vaha bat nami iminsiba leitla. What do you mean? The daughter gets married, she also loses her claim of the estate. Because it says in the Mishnah about a ketubah, what we read in the ketubah, is the home mitzan added to lacha neguvrin. Right? They get divided, or their property, it stops, or their allocation here stops at the point that they get married. Number two, my kamar nami bachov mechusra gavaina, ba nami mechusra gavaina. Why would you say that a creditor is missing a collection? The daughter also is missing a collection. She has to go in and get her money. And if she dies, right, nami late lakamo batishto. And if an almana, the last question that the Ri asks is, if an almana has ishayach nechasim mu'atim, mashuriyeh. What's the shear of an almana to classify her as nechasim mu'atim? We said before, okay, take the almana off at the top. So now by boys and girls, it's easy to explain how much mizonot, how much to allocate them to get mizonot until Achiva grew. But almana gets mizonot until she's married or until she passes away. So how much do you allocate to the almana? If you say take the almana's claim off from the top, how do you know how much to allocate to the almana? There's no, it's one of the things that the Gemara says, in lasof. That's why we're not goveh, minichasim, right, mishubadim, because there's no way to know, there's no limit to how much you could take. The same thing with banot. The banot and the almanot do not claim from the mizanot because of that problem.
You engage the services of an actuarial consultant.
Right, but it's still difficult. Right, so it's still difficult, but it's average life, especially average marriage after being widowed. I mean, it's very difficult. It's not an easy calculation. So therefore, the Ri rereads the question here. It says, "Venira devadai im einkan almana im ein kan el almana itzel abanim shnehem shavim nechasim." If there's just boys and an almana, they are both equal in the nechasim. The almana has an equal claim to the nechasim as the boys do. They're on parallel. They're peri pasu. They can go in and they collect at the same value rate. And the same is true if there's only almana or banot. If there's only an almana and girls, they're also on equal footing. In both these cases, the almanah is on equal footing with the boys, or almanah is on equal footing with the girls. When they're only when they're boys and girl, only boys or only girls, she's on an equal footing with each other party is there. This whole idea of nechassim mu'atim, where the daughters get priority, is only true by nechassim mu'atim, and it was only developed for girls. So therefore, the girls got priority in mizonot in nechassim mu'atim. But that's not true of an almanah, so, but an almanah versus banot, and an almanah versus banim. In those cases, they just, they'll divide it equally, and if it's enough for everybody, fine. If it's not enough for everybody, then they all have to go out, and machzir
al-ptachim. Yeah, the girls were not given, the daughters were not given an advantage over an almanah.
Or the almanah doesn't have an advantage over the boys. Correct, right? That's what the Ri is suggesting. Because the only time they did that, the takana was only developed for girls who are otherwise yoshin. And number two, they would be yorish if there were no banim, there is children. Right? And even though they are mechusar guvaina, even though the girls here are mechusar guvaina, because and if they get married, they would get nothing. But the almanah itzal abanim o itzal abanot lo rachatzu chanim letekein din nechassim mu'atim itzal almanah shelo ratzu lakor din yirusha min abanim itzal almanah. They didn't want to ruin the din of yirusha when it came to an almanah. So over there they allocated it. They said equal, everybody will get equal, and the banim will get. B'hashra mibayli. This is the question of the Gemara. Listen to the question of the Gemara now, going to the Ri. K'shiyesh banim ubanot. Once you have boys and girls, shiyesh kvar din nechassim mu'atim. Now already, everything's changed. Again, with almanah and boys, almanah and girls, nothing's changed. The din remains the same. But if you have both boys and girls, now the din does change. That's the takanat chachamim, that the girls will get priority in nechassim mu'atim, and they will get mizonot up front. So now the question is, bishvil banot, so now what happens with the almanah? Sheyesh bani banot, sheyesh kvar din nechassim mu'atim, bishvil banot, im bim'ata nami almanah. Right? Does the almanah also draw down on the boys or not? So now, once we've been maf'il, once we put the takana into effect, do we also help the almanah? It's not. Well, it's not sufficient to feed them until they're yivagru. There's clearly enough to give the girls that could be left over. We just discussed at the top of the end of yesterday's daf that that's what they, if there is left over, the boys get that, the extra that they get. There's just not enough to feed them until they are bogrin. So you could have residual in the estate, but not enough to feed all the kids until they're bogrin. So now, in that case, that residual, does it, now once the chachamim already mitaking this concept of nechassim mu'atim by the girls, do we also help the almanah? Does the almanah get priority over the boys or not get priority over the boys? So that's the whole question here. The question of the almanah's status, once we've been already ruined the whole idea of Yerusha and we're giving the girls first, do we take that another step further and give it to the almanah as well? Or do we say no, that the almanah never has priority, she's never included in the takana? And according to me, that's the whole question over here. The whole question is the almanah's status once you've reached nechassim mu'atim. Once you've reached nechassim mu'atim, is she included in the takana or not included in the takana? Alright, so now the Gemara says, almanato ubat. When it comes to a widow and a daughter, ezman kodemet, who gets the first claim? So he asked them all these questions. Right before that, this Gemara started, right? So Rabbi Yirmiyah was asking Rabbi Bo all these questions, and this was the final question. Who goes first? So go, I'll look into the issue, you come back tomorrow. When he came back, I'm going to answer one of your questions. I mean, not the questions from the previous almanah, just this question, which is almanah ubat. Which one goes first? Amir Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Asi, asu almanah itzal abat kebat itzal achim b'nechassim mu'atim. They made the almanah, the almanah to a daughter, like a daughter is to a brothers in nechassim mu'atim. Ma bat itzal achim abat nizene v'achim yishalu al p'tachim. Just like by nechassim mu'atim, the bat gets precedence, and the boys got to go out, and they get the raw end of the deal. They got to go out and collect, and they get nothing out of the estate or whatever's residual they'll get. Af amana itzal abat, so to by an amana itzal abat, amana nizonit v'abat tishel al p'tachim. The amana gets precedence over here, and the daughters will have to go out and knock on the doors and collect. So Tosas questions his own problem. Right, surprising response. So now what you have, I'll explain one thing in a minute, that you actually have here, is that the opposite of what your entitlement to Min HaTorah is, you're going to get over here. The most entitled person here is the Achim. They're the Yoshim Midoraisa. And they have the worst standing. Right? They get the worst standing. The next is the Bat versus the Almana. The Bat is Yoresh for the Almana, and the Almana will get precedence. The Almana's Mizonot should not take precedence over the Bat being a Yoresh, and nevertheless, she'll take precedence.
But for logic, the Almana should get precedence over.
Okay, so that's Tosa's answer there. It's a problem for Tosa. Tosa said before, when it comes to an Almana and boys, and Almana and girls, that they're on equal footing. It was only when you had boys and girls that we questioned what the Almana's standing was. So now Tosa says, oh, what do I do about the Gemara here? The Gemara clearly says over here that the Almana has precedence over the daughter. So that's what Tosa says over here. He says, he says that's the case where there's also banim here. So that case, that's when So he says if it's just an almana and a bat, they're on equal footing. It's only when you have an almana and banim and banot. In that case, the banot get their nichasim muatim. They get priority in the mizonot. And over here, he says that the almana when he's been nizonit before the banot, which goes against what the Rashbam said. The Rashbam said obviously the opposite, that the banot always get their claim, and the almana is subverted to their claim, and therefore the banot will never lose out to the almana. Over here, the almana will take precedence over banim and banot over the banot, which again would go against the position over here when you just asked, Svi, which is almana ma'ush timayit benechasim. She reduced the nechasim over there. The Gemara, he was asking the question relative to the boys. Does she reduce the boys? And over there we said no. She doesn't get. She just divides it up with the boys. But she does get against the girls' property now, according to Tosfot. So it turns out to be a strange conclusion, because why does it matter about the boys if she's getting against the girls' property already? Because she's going to reduce the girls' possession. Because Tosfos in the beginning says there are a lot of questions that I don't understand. First of all, why do daughters get precedence in mizonot? Daughters also, if they get married, lose their mizonot. If they die, they lose their mizonot. And yet we don't have any question that the bat gets mizonot. How come? Right. Number two is mechusar guvayna. Everybody, so too, the bat ishto is mechusar guvayna. Everybody's lacking in collection. Everybody has a right of collection. Nobody's collected yet. Why do you just say mechusar guvayna by the Baal Chov? Could say the same thing by the other claimants. They're mechusar guvayna. They don't have automatic claims over here. So he suggests over here that the questioner doesn't seem to make so much sense, because the unique characteristics that he's applying to each of these individuals are not necessarily unique. They apply to all of them. And number two is that they apply to bat. And how come the Gemara doesn't have any question about bat then? Bat's like left out of the picture entirely.
No, second, we ask him to get up and make it tiny. He doesn't know what he's doing.
Right.
He's indicted.
Right. I hear what you're saying, but that's the question is at the time of the division of the estate, has a claim been made? That's the only question. So Baal Chov, the creditor will make a claim. We know he's going to make a claim, but it only might be after we look at the estate. We look at the estate of the day of death. Day of death, this is the size of the estate. We ignore it. There are no claimants that have come in yet, and we just look at it. Or do we look at it after the claimants? So that's the question of the Gemara. It's not a question whether the creditor is going to show up and make a claim or not make a claim. We assume he is going to make a claim. It's just, how do we look at the estate? Do we look at the estate prior to he comes and actually makes the claim?
Say, we'll worry about that. Well, of course, the judge will get there. Do we say it?
Right, so I'm saying you can say the same thing by Mizonot. Mizonot, or the claimants of the Yitomim. Do we say that we just look at the value of the state of death, or do we look at it post their claims? But post their claims means that the claims are made later on. It's, I think they're on the same level. I don't know. You could argue at the other side. I understand what you're saying. Right now, Admon, who supposedly the Lacha was like him, gets a short shrift here. This is the little piece of Gemara that deals with his position. The rest was all dealing with the Rabbanan. That was one of the things that the Rashbam pointed out, that why the Lacha is not like Admon here. It's clear that the Gemara is arguing or discussing the positions of the Rabbanan or the Tanakama, not Admon. So now, Admon, Omer B'shushan is a Charif Sadati? My Kamar, what does he mean? So Amar Abaye, Ach Gemar B'shvil Shani Zachar V'ro'uy Ani La'asok B'Torah Avsadati. Because I'm a male and I'm Ro'uy, I should be Osik B'Torah, therefore I lose out. Just because I'm Osik B'Torah, I lose out. Amar Le'Rava El Me'ato, from here, Man Da'asik B'Torah Hu Di'arit, Da'asik B'Torah Lo Yarit. Even if you have two sons, one is learning Torah, one's not learning Torah, right? So then also you're going to change the order or the distribution over here. Is that true? When it comes to nechasim rubim, I would have gotten everything. It would all come into my possession. I own it. Wait, so if I own it and I'm a yoresh min d'oraisa, why should I lose out when it comes to nechasim mu'atim? Next Mishnah. Eniach banim u'banot v'tumtum. Leaves over boys, girls, and a tumtum. As much nechasim mirubim, the time that he has large possessions, as zecharim tochim et toetz alene kevot. Then the zecharim say, "Listen, Mr. Tumtum, tumtum is someone who is unknown, whether he is a male or female." And therefore, over here, we say to him, the boy said to him, "Listen, prove that you're a boy. Otherwise, you have no entitlement over here." So they push him against the banot, and he'll have to get mizunot with the banot. Muatim. If there are small, the estate is small, and the kevot tochoto doet al zecharim. The kevot will take their mizonot, and they'll say to him, "Listen, prove you're in the keva, this tumtum. Otherwise, you go with the boys." Omer im teled ishti zechar itomane. Someone who says that if my wife gives birth, you'll get 100 zuz. The baby will get 100 zuz. Yodah zechar itomane. She wears her a male son, then the son get that boy gets the gift. Nikeva matayim. If my wife gives birth, or teli dishti nikeva matayim, I'll get. She'll get 200. The daughter will get 200. Yotani keva. She gives birth to a girl. Notelat matayim. She gets 200. Im zachar mane im nikeva matayim. If she gives birth to a male 100 and female 200, v'yoda zachar unikeva. And she gives birth to a zachar. And now this is a question: and in nikeva or zachar or in nikeva? Zachar notel maneh, the male gets 100, v'nekeva notel is matayim, and the girl gets 200. The Rishbam over here claims that there were not twins that were born over here. Then when the Gemara says Zachar unikeva, it means Zachar unikeva. He says that the father never had in mind to discuss twins. The father was just saying, look, there's a baby in there. In the first case in the Mishnah, it's if he's a male, you get such and such. Second case in the Mishnah is if she's a female, she gets such and such. In the case it says if it's a male, he gets such and such. It's a female, I get nothing. In the case where it's a nekeva, it gets 200. The male, if there's a male, it will get 0. So now when he says, im zachar, im nekeva, it doesn't mean that if they're both zachar and nekeva, it's if she gives birth to a zachar, she gets this much. She gives birth to a nekeva, she gets this much. He never contemplates the fact that they be tomim. He might not even want tomim. He might not even want twins. Right? So there, when the Gemara comes along and then says, zachar unikeva, means, if it's a zachar, you'll get a manet. If it's a nekeva, you'll get matayim. Not that if it's twins, they will each get their portion. If they get twins, they get nothing. That's what the Rishbam says.
Is it because it's so rare that
there
are twins?
He just says, if it's a zachar, it's this. If it's a nekeva, it's this.
Because he didn't specify it's so rare.
It's so rare. The assumption is that what he meant was male or female. He didn't mean male and female. That was not his intent. We would never read his words to be that way. If he tells us that's what he meant, then fine. But here he's not telling us that. That's what the Rishbam claims, and we're not dealing with twins over here.
What?
We have both. It has to do with the gift itself and the recipient. So the Rishbam deals with there that he's mezaken and de'acher, that he gives it through a third party. Yaldab tumtum. So this is the chiddush of this case. If she gives birth to a tumtum, ain't no tell. Gets nothing. So you would have thought by a tumtum, look, it's either a zachar and a kebab, we just don't know what it is. So at least he's get 100, because the minimum that the father said that it was granted was 100. If it's a zachar, it's a kevah, it's 200. So over here he gets nothing. See, im amar kol mashi teledi shtei yito, whatever my wife gives birth to will take, or zei yito, then the tumtum would get it. Ein sham yoreish elohu yoreish et hakol. If there's no other yoreish here, then the tumtum will be the yoreish. It means the single yoreish of the estate, and therefore he will be classified as a zachar or nekeva, it doesn't matter. He is the recipient of the yerusha. There's two possibilities here of why. Either because of a kol karov, karov karov kodem, as we learned at the beginning of right, Yesh Nochlim, that the closest relative is the one who inherits here. So now he's not inheriting because he's a son or a daughter, he's inheriting because he's the closest relative. Or, you could suggest over here, he's inheriting because even if he's a sefek zachar nekeva, either way, whether he's a ben or a bat, he gets precedence over here. So, either way, he gets the Yerusha. Now, there's a difference between the ratio of this Mishnah and the seif of this Mishnah. That's what the Gemara is going to discuss in a second. But the ratio of the Mishnah views the Tumtum as being a Safek Zachar Nekeva, and therefore the Zachar Nekeva, the Zacharim or Nekevim, the Banim or the Banot can push them away to the side because it must be Chaver Ala Baraya. There is a third opinion, and that's the opinion that's exactly that it's a Briya Bifne Atzma. That seems.
It sounds like it says you hate the other
Exactly. So that Sefer, the Mishnah, is exactly that. That the Tumtum is a Bria Bifnei Atzma. Because it's a Bria Bifnei Atzma, even when he says Zachar and Nekeva, he doesn't get the minimum amount. Why? Because he's neither. As Zachar and Nekeva, he's neither. So now, what's it? So the Gemara says, Dochin Oto Vishakal Kebat, when the Banim go ahead and knock him away and say, listen, you don't get Yusha with this. You have to prove to us you're a boy. So if he's not a boy, then he's at least a girl. That means that he will collect like the girls. Dochin Oto Vishakal Kebat. Haktani Sefer. And the Sefer says, Yadal Tumtum ain't an hotel. So the Sefer says, and this is the stira that I just pointed out to you, from the beginning the Mishnah sounds like the Tumtum is a suffix Zachar Nukeva. And from the Sefer the Mishnah sounds like the Tumtum is a Bria Bifnei Atzma, gets nothing. So Rabbi, Dochin Oto Ve'ein Lo. Rabbi says, no. You're not reading the ratio of the Mishnah properly. The ratio of the Mishnah means Dochin Oto Ve'ein Lo. That when the Zacharim push him away and say, you don't get Yerusha, it doesn't mean that he goes through the Banot then. He gets nothing. Tumtum gets nothing in the ratio, just like he gets nothing in the Sefer. Rav Amar, Dochino Tovi Yeshlo. No. That the ratio is that way. Dochino Tovi Yeshlo, he gets with the Banot. Ah, the ratio then it says it's a Safek Zachar Nekeba, and the Sefer says it's Bria Bifnei Atzma. The Sefer, Atan, the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, you're right. The Sefer is, based on the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, the Tznan, we have a Mishnah, Yodah Tumtum Vandroginus, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, where in Kedusha Chala Alehim. So that this is a case of, it could be relevant by Kedushat Bechor. By Kedushat Bechor, or it could be relevant to someone who is says that this animal is a shlamim, or whatever this animal gives birth to will also be a shlamim, and an ulam is the kedusha chal on the ubar. So he talks about whether it's a zachar and a keba. The chalut shem kedusha will depend on whether it's a zachar and a keba. But if it's a tumtum or an androgynous, in that case, the kedusha is not chal. Why? Because Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel views them as bria bifnei atzma. They're new briot, and therefore they're not included in anything that he states about zachar and a keba or any of his intentions over here. Meitavei, tumtum yoresh keben, v'nizon kebat. A tumtum inherits like a son, and gets mizonot like a bat. Bishlama, the Rav, according to Rabbi, makes sense. Yoresh keben, v'nechasim mu'atim. When it's nechasim mu'atim, he inherits like a son. Why? Because they get the raw end of the deal. So he'll be with those that get the raw end of the deal. V'nizon kebat, v'nechasim mu'rubim. And when there's a larger stake, he'll go like the daughters, which is the raw end of the deal. So that's according to Rava, that makes sense, because that's the case of Safek, and therefore he gets pushed to the lower side. Elo Labaye, my Nizon Kebat. How is there ever a case where he is Nizon Kebat? Why is there a case of Nizon Kebat? Because Abaye always believes he gets nothing. When he gets nothing, meaning that in either, the Tumtum is knocked out of the estate. Completely. Both when there's only Banaim are pushing him away and the Banot are pushing him away. Mu'atim, Rubim, doesn't matter. The Tumtum gets nothing. So where's the case that Abaye is going to come up to explain this Braisa that says that he's Nizon Kebat? Where's ever the case like that? So Gemara says, Ulatamech l'Rava Ma'i Yoresh Keben. Wait, according to Rava, what does it mean that he's Yoresh Keben? Ela Ro'i lo Yoresh. Vein lo. What does it mean that he's Yoresh Keben? There's never a case that he gets Yoresh Keben. Why? If there really is nechasim ruabim, he's not to the girls, according to Rava. If there are nechasim latim, the girls get them as an oath, and what do? The boys have to be machzir al tachim. So what do you mean yoresh keben? He's not inheriting like a ben. He should have inherited like the boys, but there's nothing to inherit. So they have to go around to tachim. So roi yoresh, vein lo. Hachanami, roi lezun, vein lo. So say it over here by the case. He's roi to get mizono like the bat, but he just won't get them because he's not a bat. So that would be the case. That's how you can explain a bayi over here. So, in this case, he's out everything. Even though, truthfully, the Yoresh Keben, like Rava, could fit in a little bit. Why? Because if there's Nechasim Mu'atim, but there's still extra Yerusha, there's residual, then they are Yoresh the residual. So he would be a part of that Yerusha, and you could call it Yoresh Keben. Tosus rejects that and says Yoresh Keben seems to mean full-fledged Yoresh Keben, meaning that that means Yoresh Keben doesn't mean just the residual, means that he takes full-fledged Yerusha. And that's why we say over here that listen, Yoresh Keben Mashma, Yoresh Gamurhu, Keben Mishar Nechasim, and that Rava can't explain it either. Right, Tosus goes through and tries to say, why doesn't Abaye just say the Braisa is according to the Manda Amar that it's a Safek? Right, Abaye has to agree that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel believes that, the people arguing Rabbi Shimon Gamliel hold that it's a Safek. I mean, he might try to set up our Mishnah, it's completely like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. But nevertheless, there's still the Rabbanon who argue on Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So why not just say the Braisa is a Liba, the Rabbanon, and our Mishnah is a Liba, the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. That would have been an easier solution for Abaye, and why go through all this problem? So Tosfos spends a lot of time on other Gemaras, and here he suggests, the Gemara, The Sover Abayi Afilu Rabbanan Plige Hatam Rishim Gamliel Modu Hacha. That over there, even though the Rabbanan disagree with Shimon Gamliel by the animals, Dein Dato Shul Adam Kovo Leknot El Zechar Bnei Keiva. Over here in our Gemara, it's different because over here, when he says male and female by children, he means male and female and not a tum tum. Radai, right? V'dafka Gabi Hakrava Hu Depligi. Only by Karbanot do they argue. Came the tum tum right Hakrava, since a tum tum could be brought as a korban. Therefore, Dato Nami a tum tum. Over there, he means or he has in mind for tum tum. So that's the Tosos solution suggests that our case here is different than the case of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Even the Rabbanan would agree to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's opinion over here, according to Abaye, because we're talking about a Zachar Nekeva. When it comes to children, Zachar Nekeva means really Zachar and really Nekeva. Tum Tum is not in the mindset or in the consideration of the individual, and therefore you would be excluded, even according to Chamim, you'd be excluded from the process.
It's not a question of the halachic status of the individual. It's what did he have in mind when he offered it.
Right.
And Mustafa, when he said, she gives birth to Zachar, she gives birth to Nekeva, he meant an indisputable.
Right, or and also maybe even here, where the ben and the bat is yoresh, we mean a ben vaday and a bat vaday, because they have real, it has real meaning over here, as opposed to hakrava, where being a tumtum doesn't change anything, or as a char nekeva, they can all end up on the mizbech, they end up as different karbanot, but they can all end up on the mizbech. So they all end up on the mizbech, the differentiation is not as clear or defined. But there's not such a clear differentiation. That's where the chachamim say that he might have included a tumtum, or he might have thought of a tumtum, and if it'll be a safek in terms of what the status is. But over here, even the chachamim, according to Abaye, will agree to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and therefore that solution is not offered as a possible answer for Abaye over here. Okay, we'll stop here.